You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls. Finish up that presentation or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
On today's NFL Fantasy Live podcast, we give you an idea if there are any waiver wire pickups left for your championship week. Also, keeper advice for the 2014 season and a conversation with Rams running back Zach Stacy. It's all coming up right here on today's NFL Fantasy Live podcast. I'm Money Smith here, far end Michael Fabiano, the Fantasy Hall of Famer and the former. Akbar Baja B. Amila. Monday Nighter last night. We said it just a second ago, and by we, I mean me. Championship round.
Okay.
Akbar, you're not in it. Nope. Babs, you're not in it. I'm not in it. So, you know what? Let's just enjoy this for what it is. There it is. Joe Flacco, Calvin Johnson. First quarter Lions opening series. Reggie Bush gets the handoff, runs left end, 14-yard touchdown.
See Reggie Bush.
Right?
The game started well for Detroit.
7-0 Lions, but they would trail 9-7 at half. Fourth quarter now, Ravens, Lions territory, following a Matt Stafford interception. Flacco, Marlon Brown, tackled for a loss, but Flacco hurt on the play.
Get up. Get up, Rock.
Help me out, Ray. Under 3 minutes to play. And you see here, this is the injury. Could have been bad. DeAndre Levy there, straight to the knee. But Flacco would get up. He would be okay. And that'd be important for later in the game. Right now, under 3 minutes to play, Stafford, tight end, Joe Fourier.
With can I get an A clap? Dance
worst.
In the history.
That's the move.
Joe Fourier's got
to be a little more. Come on, man.
Lions missed the 2-point conversion, and that's important because Justin
Tucker, there go that ball.
61 yards connects in Ford Field. That's right, Justin Tucker. You're the guy, scored all 18 points, 38 seconds left to play. Did you start Matt Stafford? -2. Got another -2 right there with interception. 8.3 points for the Georgia Bulldog. Ravens win. 18-16. And you get a look
Sterling
at the board here. It's a Grandy. Here you go. Joe Flacco, 222 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Ray Rice. Jones. Stafford. Reggie Bush did okay. Calvin Johnson did okay, as you see here. Just about 10 points. You got double digits plus for Reggie. But the big winner, Justin Tucker.
I believe in kickers.
And hey, here at NFL Fantasy Live, what's better than somebody recognizing after the game? Maybe you don't have to thank the spiritual power above. Yep. Maybe you don't have to say hello to your family back home. Instead, you give a shout out to the people. The people that really matter, right? Right, Justin Tucker?
So, you know, I'm glad to come through, of course, for my team here, my reality team, but also for all my fantasy owners. Big thank you for picking me up. You know, it means a lot to me, and hopefully I can continue to contribute to the successes of your respective teams.
brilliant.
You know, absolutely brilliant. I love the serious tone that he brought to the press conference. This was a big deal. Fantasy is a big deal.
Remember, and second time, too, he said it on the field as well. In the on-field interview, he did the big shout-out to all the fantasy owners. So a lot of Twitter action following a 61-yard field goal and a 22-point week. And we got a handful of the tweets right here, by the way. 33 straight field goals attempts made, not to mention every last one of those points. And look, fantasy, great. Reality, even bigger, as the Ravens control their own destiny. They might still win the AFC North. All right, here you go. This one from Pit Dog. I never missed a single show this year. Tonight, I thank you and kickers everywhere. So there you go. Pit Dog getting the love from Justin Tucker. This one to you, Fabs, came from B.A. Palmer 21. Needed 21 to win. Got 23. Hashtag unbelievable.
From the kicker.
Unbelievable, yeah. Indeed. And another one, I was down 21. Had Justin Tucker won by a point. So
that was good.
I had my own Justin Tucker moment also. You want to talk about a miracle
here is yours,
in Motown?
Right here. The tweet that you fired off, Fabs, in your celebrity league.
I was playing Natalie Coughlin in the Celebrity League. Okay. I had about a 0.7-point lead. She had Calvin Johnson. It's a PPR league. And I had Justin Tucker.
You're
so I'm thinking,
done.
I'm done. I'm dead. I'm in the water. I'm just out.
Tucker took care of you.
I won by 7 points.
Yeah.
I could not believe it. See?
The
fantasy postseason, yeah. There's a little luck involved,
my friends. A little bit. 22 points from Justin Tucker.
It.
All right, let's get to the players that people have to think about this coming week if they made it to the Super Bowl and for 2014, and that's Ray Rice. Ray Rice had a bad 2013 campaign.
He did. There's no doubt about it. Now, the matchup coming up is better. He's playing the Patriots. They have not been good against the run lately. I still say he's an RB2 flex type, although it's risk-reward. If we're looking at keepers, this is going to be a tough one. I don't know that he's been healthy all year, though, Money. I think that hip has really been an issue. So, again, if you were able to pick up an Eddie Lacy, a player like that, then maybe you don't keep Ray Rice, but I still think he's on the radar.
Yeah, and let's not forget, too, that they lost so many pieces in that offense that changed the dynamic of
the offensive line,
so they have to go back to the drawing board.
So this is the second consecutive week that Matt Stafford and Calvin Johnson have struggled, and I guess if you consider 9.8 points struggling for Calvin Johnson, which I do, considering he carried a lot of people to this point, to the postseason, what about, I mean, next year, notwithstanding for Calvin, but let's talk Matt Stafford maybe. And also for next week, if you made the Super Bowl, Calvin Johnson, Matt Stafford.
Well, I still trust this dynamic between Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford. And yet 9.8 is not a big thing for Calvin Johnson. But Matthew Stafford, this offense just so prolific. They got a lot of energy, high octane. I think you still stick with Matthew Stafford.
This coming week, you
I
play
do
him?
Too.
Yeah,
they're playing the Giants.
Yeah.
They're playing them in Detroit. The last time the Giants were on the road, Philip Rivers ripped them apart.
Yeah.
I have faith in Stafford.
So start this week, both, and then next year, obviously, Calvin
Johnson.
Don't
waver. Don't overthink it.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Week 15 now officially over. That means we have reached the final week of the fantasy season for most leagues. So let's get you caught up on the news and notes from around the league.
Money, thank you kindly. Molly Karam here with my friend Adam Rank. And let's get you caught up on all the latest news. And we begin in Foxborough. NFL Network's Albert Breer reports that Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski has been told he should be ready to go for the start of the 2014 season, despite tearing his ACL and MCL so late this season. Adam, what does this mean for owners who have Gronk in a keeper league?
It's going to be tougher in a keeper league because a lot of people don't keep tight ends. He's probably somebody you're going to have to let go back into the draft pool, but he could be a draft value next year. Because a lot of people will be scared off because of the injury concerns. So next year, take a look at Rob Gronkowski.
Oh, the difference a year makes. 15 Definitely. TDs in his last 18 games. Packers head coach Mike McCarthy told the media Tuesday that quarterback Aaron Rodgers would be reevaluated on Wednesday, which would play a role in determining his status for the rest of the season. We'll give you some insurance options for Rodgers later on in the show. Adam, we saw Jay Cutler struggle early after returning from his injury. Do you think Rodgers would be a risky play in your championship if he is cleared?
It really depends on who you're going to be rolling out ahead of him at quarterback. Nick Foles, I would start him. Phillip Rivers, if perhaps you picked him up, then those are some of the options I would play. But when it comes down to Aaron Rodgers, I am going to play him. As long as he is playing for the Green Bay Packers, he would be playing for my fantasy squad in most instances.
He has 7 career TDs against the Cowboys in three games. Encouraging news for Arizona, Cardinals wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald told Westwood One Radio that he passed an independent baseline test on Monday, a day after suffering a concussion against the Titans. He has not yet been cleared by the team, but signs are looking up. Adam, that said, would you start him against the Seahawks, only 4.9 points against Tennessee.
Yeah, this is going to be another tough matchup for Larry Fitzgerald. So assuming that you have other options that you can play, he's probably somebody you're going to leave on the bench. He's too tough to trust, especially against those huge corners who always seem to have his number.
Right in the pine, buddy. In Jacksonville, it's tough in these fantasy streets.
It is.
Wide receiver Cecil Shorts headed for the IR. He's scheduled to have surgery. What do we do here?
Tough break. Well, you know, you look forward to next season, but A. Sanders had his first receiving touchdown last week, so there's somebody that is available on your waiver wire.
A lot of us will be looking forward to 2014 that didn't make it to the championships. Unlike you, though, my friend.
We can live on. We'll gloat about that in about 3 minutes.
Awesome. I'll be cheering for you. Still to come, we got a few waiver wire pickups you can add straight to your starting lineup in championship week. Michael Fabiano has made his list, and he's checking it twice. Found out who made his nice list for week 16. And Alex Smith was a top five fantasy quarterback on Sunday. Can he repeat his 30-point performance in championship week? We'll tell you next. This is NFL Fantasy Live. Time now for Fantasy Coach of the Week, presented by Lenovo. The playoffs are well underway in NFL.com Experts League. And the big matchup last week to reach the Experts League championship was between Team America and Matt Money Smith.
It was, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
How'd that turn out for you?
Well, it's interesting you ask, Molly, because I was quite confident going into that matchup. And, yeah, guess what? It didn't go well.
I heard.
Would you like to know why it didn't go well?
Yeah.
Your team's
not very
good.
Why don't you ask that man right there on your right? Why don't you ask him what he decided to do midweek?
What did I do?
And how that was a vehicle for Team America to take advantage of this guy right here.
I was making moves. I had to clear up. I had to clear up some space. We had a we had an extra quarterback, Alex Smith.
Oh, and you just decided to drop him, huh?
Why would I need him? I wasn't going to start him.
Yeah,
why should he be wasting time?
You should have started him so he could cash in double points on all those stupid screen passes he threw to Jamal Charles.
I already got points out of that from Jamal Charles.
Oh, yeah, turns out you did.
Settle down.
Here's what happened, Molly. Let me tell you something. This guy, we were in two championship games last year, two.
What, I went 2-0.
Yeah, you went 2-0.
That's right.
What do they always say in the NFL, huh? What do they always say? Very hard to beat the same team three times.
Is it?
I'm calling sabotage.
I don't think it's very hard at all.
Sabotage in the Experts League.
I feel that you took a dive. That's what happened.
You
were so worried about getting beat.
Most arrogant man on this
year. Guys, let's hand out the award to who this belongs to. And listen, don't get bitter, Matt Money Smith. Get better.
Bitter.
I had to teach Michael Fabiano that at one point. All right, this week, our Coach of the Week honor goes to America's team. And here is why.
Yeah.
We'll show you their matchup. They chose to play Alex Smith. And as you just heard, five TDs, a season-high 31.18 fantasy points.
Yep.
So they can thank Adam Rank.
Oh, no. Yeah. They're the ones who made the moves. They they did pretty well. Look
but
at that.
For him being available,
Cordarrelle
that was thanks
Patterson.
To you.
But look at that. Cordarrelle Patterson is their number two wide receiver. Not their flex guy or anything like that. Their number two guy. DeSean Jackson, another savvy move for them as well.
Big one. I'll be honest, if I may set aside my issues. Mm-hmm. I felt all right about my week. You score 97, almost 98 points in the playoffs, and you feel pretty good, especially considering all the inclement weather. It was enough to win, Molly.
Solid, but this isn't about you, okay?
What?
This isn't about you.
About
so we talk about streaming defenses on Fantasy Live, but the past 3 weeks, America's team has been streaming quarterbacks. So the question is, should America stick with Alex Smith versus the Colts, or should they continue to stream quarterbacks? A-Rod's their starter, Aaron Rodgers, and we don't know if he'll be ready to go.
Even if he is, I say A-Rod should stay on the bench.
Oh, how convenient
wink,
of you.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Speaking of wink, wink, nudge, nudge, look who just became available on the waiver wire. It's Drew Brees. What do you know?
Look, day, you can't do that. Your roster is
lost. Suey Soup Sifter just dropped. Team America. Apparently, Drew Brees has just become available.
That's all right, I'll pick him up.
I would say this. I do like the Phillip Rivers matchup this week. Drew Brees has a tough matchup. Not that I'm in the championship game or anything against the Carolina
Panthers.
That would have
been a conundrum for you had you won.
Yeah.
But you did.
Thanks. But I like the Phillip Rivers. If they're going to stream quarterbacks, Rivers against the Raiders at home, that's a pretty darn good matchup if you're looking to continue
How
to stream.
How about Kirk Cousins or Jay Cutler? Yeah.
Jay Cutler. Yeah. Either one of those guys would be good options, especially for Kirk Cousins. It's such a fantastic matchup. The Cowboys have given up the most fantasy points quarterbacks this season. 30 touchdown passes, second most.
I would say, though, just to take weather out of the equation, not that I buy into that a whole lot, sunny San Diego versus Philadelphia or Washington, D.C. I think you're maybe better off just playing it safe, going with someone that's playing in a warm weather climate.
Absolutely.
I'd
say Philip Rivers is the number two quarterback this week in fantasy.
So better safe than sorry. All right, Adam, you also advanced, obviously, as we said, to the championship game because you had a little savvy move there.
Oh, I'm taking on America now.
Yeah, you're taking on America, and you decided to play Steven Jackson over Larry Fitzgerald. You were rewarded handsomely. Larry Fitz, 4.9, while Steven Jackson had 16.3 points. We haven't seen this from him all year.
And he had two huge touchdowns. And I said in the beginning of the season, I looked for Steven Jackson to be the fantasy MVP because he brings an extra element to this Falcons offense because they can be so versatile. Now, of course, that didn't work out. But I didn't cut Steven Jackson. I knew that this matchup was coming up in the fantasy playoffs. So I held on to him for 10 weeks, just hoping that he was going to get healthy, thinking, you know what, this is a guy I can play at the end of the year. Now, the matchup is not good this week, so odds are he's going to be on the bench. I'm not going to tip my hand to America there. Mm. But you know what? I had to make the move. I held on to him, and I end up winning this thing, I owe him a big share of the hardware.
If I remember correctly, you weren't that happy on draft day, and things turned out very well for you. So congratulations to you. I actually had a great draft, and I was knocked out very quickly. Yeah. Congratulations to America's team. Yeah.
If America's team, by the way, if you want to take the finger poke of doom, if you want to play the Kevin Nash to my Hollywood Hulk Hogan, feel free to do that. Bench everybody if you want. If America really loves Adam Rank, and I hope that they do, go ahead and bench those guys.
I'll tell you who doesn't like Adam Rank.
This guy?
This guy right here, dropping Alex Smith on Thursday.
Is it really that big of a move?
Do you think? They scored 31 points with Alex Smith.
It paid off in hindsight.
I'm not feeling it.
Listen, guys, play nice, all right? And don't play dirty.
What does that even mean?
Coming up, Rams running back Zach Stacy joins the show. Find out what the rookie has planned for an encore to a 140-yard day in Week 15. Plus, wondering who to keep on your fantasy roster for next season? Our experts answer all your keeper questions next as NFL Fantasy Live continues.
Relive the big comeback in Big D as the Packers stormed from a 23-point halftime deficit to stun the Cowboys and save their season. A special extended version of NFL Replay is tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern only on NFL Network. The game of the week, Packers versus the Cowboys again tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern. And with the season winding down, we're going to take a peek ahead to 2014, talking keepers and trying to figure out two players each position who either had a good 2013 or a disappointing 2013, and trying to figure out, take some inventory on what it means for 2014. So why don't we get started with the always tough to evaluate year-to-year quarterback position and Nick Foles, Akbar. You know, project for 2014, Foles.
2014, it's all about Nick Foles. I think Nick Foles is really going to own this position for the Philadelphia Eagles. When you look at what he just did this year, when he was given the opportunity, Chip Kelly said, all right, we've got Michael Vick, probably one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Amongst the top, and he comes in there and he replaces it, and he does a better job than what Michael Vick did.
Considerably better.
I mean, when you look at his numbers, 19-plus fantasy points in six straight games, that right there is consistency. And when you're talking about winning this game, winning your league, you need a player that's going to be consistent.
Top 10, top 5?
No doubt about it, he's a top 10 quarterback for next year, and he's a guy that you're going to want to keep in your league.
Does he go ahead of RG3, and how do you feel about RG3? I'm looking at Fabiano Akbar, slow down.
He definitely goes ahead of RG3, but I'm not jumping off the bandwagon. He wasn't right this year, Money. He wasn't healthy. He didn't have any work in the preseason, any work in training camp. He's going to come back. He'll be healthy. I don't know who his coach is going to be, but RG3 is going to be effective next season. You know why I like RG3? He's going to be a bargain in redrafts, and a lot of people in keeper leagues are going to drop him because he had one bad year. He didn't have terrible numbers across the board. There were some weeks where he had some stinkers, but he also had some pretty big weeks in a fantasy league. Yep. Because he had garbage time points. I still like him.
Let's just A and B it then. You said you'd take Foles over Robert Griffin III.
Absolutely.
Would you take him over Robert Griffin III? Nick Foles.
No, Foles would definitely be ahead of RG3.
You'll take him ahead of him, okay.
RG3 is going to be more of a guy who is going to be a redraft bargain and someone I still think you keep.
Okay.
It's all about the consistency.
Let's go to the running back position here, Rank. Lead the charge on Ryan Matthews. The San Diego Chargers decided to dedicate themselves to the run toward the close of the season. And you see the numbers here. First five versus the last nine game. The touches, way up. The scrimmage yards, way up. And, of course, the total touchdowns, 5-1, and double fantasy points per game. next year, Ryan Matthews.
Let's assume he's going to still be with the San Diego Chargers. I would definitely keep Ryan Matthews. This is an offense that is starting to trend up. Phillip Rivers with Mike McCoy. And let's assume, again, Ken Whisenhunt stays on as the offensive coordinator, doesn't go to Houston or perhaps Washington. That's going to be a formidable team. And now that it's starting to grow into itself. Keenan Allen has emerged as a true number one wide receiver. They're really starting to build the pieces around them. San Diego, for as well as they've played this season, there's really not as much talent there as you think, especially at receiver. So as they start to fill in and start to get better players around them, Ryan Matthews could be a good running back going into the next season.
Last 5 weeks, he was an RB1. Is he an RB1 next year?
Definitely.
Okay. Fabs, let's go to Arian Foster. Certainly an RB1 on paper, was not that on the field.
Well, the injuries caught up to him, and I think what also caught up to him, money, was the workload. Over the last three seasons, I mean, no running back has had a bigger workload than Arian Foster. He's still only 27. I say you still continue to keep him. Ben Tate's going to be gone. I think he's going to end up in Cleveland next season. But Arian Foster, of course, you have to check out what's going on in the offseason, how he recovers from this back surgery. But all things being equal, and if he's 100% for training camp, I'm keeping him.
All right, let's go to the wide receiver position and back to San Diego and Keenan Allen. As you get a look here at fantasy rookies, top fantasy rookies, you see Allen there really came on strong the back end of this season. Multiple touchdowns in, I believe, three of his last four games. You see the 133 points and a lot of that again in the back half of the season. So what about long-term projection for Keenan Allen?
Well, he's going to continue to grow in this offense. And right now, Phillip Rivers, he trusts Keenan Allen. And you've seen that maturation rate for Keenan Allen. No rookie receiver has ever had this type of production for the San Diego Chargers. When you're looking at the amount of receptions he has, 63 receptions on the year so far, he's getting very close to that 1,000 number. Now all of a sudden you're looking at a 1,000-yard receiver in his rookie year. He can only get better. What happens to wide receivers and offensive players, the longer they play, the more they become mentally aware of the game. The game slows down. They become more productive. He's a top 10 wide receiver going into next year.
Rank, one of the more underreported stories this year is how bad Eli Manning has been. You can make a case he's been the worst quarterback in the NFL this season. How does that bode for Victor Cruz next season as a keeper this season?
I'm going to be avoiding all the New York Giants players because the team really does have a decision of what to do in this coming draft. Are they going to start looking at their quarterback at the future? They tried one this year, the kid out of Syracuse, Nassib. They're probably not going to be their long-term answer, so do they go back and start looking at somebody to put into the pipeline? Could they perhaps start making a change at the position? So the Giants are a team I look at, and then you don't know who the coach is going to be. Is Tom Coughlin going to return? So that's a situation to avoid.
To the tight end position, Jordan Cameron lit up your fantasy league the first seven games of the season. The top-producing tight end saved Jimmy Graham over that time frame. 515 yards, six touchdowns. But then you see the number for the second half. What do we do with Jordan Cameron?
Well, there's one tight end that you're going to keep. It's going to be Jimmy Graham. But Jordan Cameron is going to be fine next season, assuming, again, North Turner is still the offensive coordinator and a better quarterback comes into play. Jordan Cameron's going to go back to being that dominant tight end because he's going to be a big part of the offense. Josh Gordon will be there. It's all based on the quarterback. They have to do better than Jason Campbell. That's really what the numbers, the decline of the numbers are all about. It's the quarterback position.
Fabs, top 10 tight end.
Cameron, no doubt about that. Rob Gronkowski, he's also going to be a top five, but a lot depends on what happens in his return from ACL surgery. He's had a lot of surgeries, guys. We're talking about the back. We're talking about the forearm. Now we're talking about a knee. If I only keep two players, Gronkowski may be on the outside looking in. If I'm keeping three to five, he could be my fourth or fifth keeper. But, guys, he's injury prone. And you hate to say it about a guy who's so good, but injuries have become a major concern with Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, you know, I'll say this quickly. You know, with that ACL, MCL, that might be one of the best things for Rob Gronkowski because now he's going to have a hold this entire time just to really get back healthy and instead of trying to push through what he was going through the year.
It's just a lot of injuries.
A lot of injuries.
For one guy, back, arm,
that's
twice.
What concerns
now
me.
You've got the knee. All right, still to come. You've made it to the final week of the fantasy season, but your work is not done yet. We've got some insurance pickups off the waiver wire that will put your mind at ease for championship week. And if you need a pep talk before your big game, the experts, yeah, us right here, have a few final thoughts to set your mind at ease. NFL Fantasy Live rolls on right after this.
It's a Zach Attack on NFL Fantasy Live. Coming up, Zach Stacy joins the program to tell us what to expect from the Rams for the rest of 2013 and beyond. Plus, could a waiver wire quarterback win you a fantasy championship? It could happen. We'll tell you which QBs you can trust in Week 16. And want to win a trip to Super Bowl 49? NFL.com's playoff challenge could be your ticket to Arizona. We're previewing the playoffs to give you a head start on our postseason fantasy game and much more. This is NFL Fantasy Live. And who said kickers don't matter? How about Justin Tucker last night in that Ravens-Lions game, winning it for the team 22 fantasy points? Who would have thunk it, gentlemen?
You know, let me just say this. That kick right there was big time, prime time, showtime, all time, good time, period. 22 fantasy points? Oh.
And let's not forget, Dan Bailey scored 22 fantasy points this week, so you had two kickers who go over 20 fantasy points in this same week. I had Mr. Tucker, and I'm going to send him a fruit basket because he helped me beat Natalie Coughlin in the Celebrity League. And I saw a lot of people on Twitter last night. They were thrilled with Justin Tucker.
You should send him a fruit basket dipped in chocolate, a little something extra.
Oh, okay, I'll hook him up.
33 flavors, too.
Yeah, we'll he single-handedly obviously did it for the Ravens there. And here's four Broncos and Jamal Charles here. And take a look at this board. This is really interesting. Peyton Manning cost 73% of owners that played him.
That's tough to mentally deal with.
It was not a good week for the Broncos in general. Sean didn't have a good game. Yep. Demaryius, Eric Decker. But if you survived, the Houston Texans are on the schedule next for Denver.
Of course, and obviously Jamal Charles the opposite, winning it for so many people with those five TDs.
Oh, all right. I know that all too well.
We are in the final week of the season, and there are two kinds of waiver wire pickups. The guys you're picking up to start this week, and the guys that are really just insurance for your team. So who should fantasy owners be looking for if they need a spot starter this week? We'll begin with you, Fabs.
I love Jay Cutler. I think this kid is going to put up very good numbers this week against the Philadelphia Eagles, who gave up right around 30 fantasy points last week to Matt Cassel, of all people. And Cutler's available in a lot of leagues. So if you have Aaron Rodgers and you're not sure if he's going to play, if you had RG3 and you're streaming quarterbacks, or maybe you've been streaming quarterbacks all season long, Cutler is the guy to pick up and start in your championship.
Well, or on the other end, you may have some doubt about where to go with your player. Maybe you have Tom Brady and you're thinking, how's he going to do against this team? You have, all of a sudden, Kirk Cousins comes into play. Mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins is a very good quarterback that you can look at picking up off the waiver wire. He's got an excellent matchup going up against the Dallas Cowboys, who we all know cannot stop anybody in the passing game. And Kirk Cousins, you saw Kirk Cousins come out there in that game against Atlanta. That first half, he was on fire. Picked up right where he left off from last year when he went up against Cleveland, put up big numbers. I like Kirk Cousins in this matchup. Really.
Over 20 fantasy points. So if your starting lineup is all set, there are still guys who you can add as insurance. And one interesting guy, Fabs, Ryan Tannehill, 18-plus fantasy points in four straight games. Do you like him this week?
He's been on fire, one of the hottest quarterbacks in fantasy football. Now, with that being said, you don't have to pick a guy up and necessarily start him. You can also block your opponent. What if your opponent has a quarterback with a bad matchup?
Tricky.
You can block your opponent from picking up that player. I do that as well. There's no doubt about it. Or if you have a tiebreaker where it's most bench points, pick up quarterbacks, go ahead and add Ryan Tannehill. Listen, all's fair in love and fantasy football, Molly.
Very sneaky, Akbar. How about Andre Caldwell?
Well, you know, I love that same type of strategy as well with Andre Caldwell because he's replacing Wes Welker.
Sure.
Ugh.
Good stuff, guys. Speaking of the waiver wire, one of this season's best pickups was running back Zach Stacy, who's standing by with our own Matt Money Smith. Matt.
All right, thank you, Molly. Well, coming off his third 100-yard performance of the season, not just the pride of Centerville, Alabama, but the pride of Vanderbilt, carrying that Commodore star with tremendous pride. It's number 30, the running back for the St. Louis Rams, Zach Stacy, on NFL Fantasy Live. What's happening, Zach?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining us. Let's get started with the third 100-yard performance. Does one of the dominating ground destructions of an opponent stand out ahead of all others? Is it the 7-plus yards per carry against the Bears, 134 yards against that stingy Seattle D? Which one are you most proud of?
You know, really, I don't really try to keep up with stats for real. You know, my whole deal is just to go in and, you know, help this offense and this team be successful on Sundays. You know, along with that, you know, we emphasize preparation week in and week out, and we just did a great job executing. You know, obviously the success on the ground for us, you know, it starts up front with the offensive line. You know, that's probably the hardest working group on the team, and, you know, they just do a good job week in and week out.
We obviously can see the measurables on you. You're a big dude. When you get that first contact, we always talk about yards after initial contact. Give us an idea of what it's like to be a running back and what then your game plan becomes when you feel a tackler make contact with you.
You know, obviously, I've always tried to, you know, emphasize and take pride in yards after contact, and that's something that you have to have, especially at this level. You know, guys are big. Obviously, guys are fast at this level, and, you know, really the main thing is just having that mentality, just to have being a, you know, north-south runner, you know. Also knowing that, you know, the offensive line can't block all 11 guys. You know, I wish it was that easy, but unfortunately it's not. So, you know, that's what separates, you know, the good bat from the great bat, just being able to break tackles, get yards out of contact, you know, make guys miss, you know, power to get that extra yard. So that's what it's really all about. You know, we emphasize in the running back room, you know, getting yards out of contact, breaking tackles all the time. So, and we display that in practice and the carries in the game.
Zach, you're in some pretty exclusive company. Over 800 yards, you're on pace for 1,000. That is Marshall Faulk and Eric Dickerson and Steven Jackson territory when it comes to the Rams. Give us an idea of what was expected of you when you were drafted, when you came into this organization in rookie camp and training camp. What did you think your role was going to be?
You know, really, you know, I'd had no clue. You know, obviously we had, you know, very good bats and, you know, Isaiah Pede, Darrell Richardson, those guys. So, you know, my whole mentality coming to this thing was just try and just contribute as much as I can. You know, I had no clue that, you know, I would end up being the starter and having the little success that I'm having. But, you know, with that, you know, it's all about, you know, just being a professional about yourself. You know, just had to play the waiting game a little bit, but, you know, just took advantage of the opportunity I was given. And, you know, I just been, you know, preparing my butt off week in and week out. And, you know, along with the help of the offensive line, it's just been great. So, you know, hopefully not only for me, but all the rest of the running backs, you know, we all prepare the same way. And hopefully we can continue to keep the momentum going these last couple of weeks.
You know, a big fantasy stud from last season, Alfred Morris, a similar path. You know, not that Vandy's a small school. I mean, you're in the SEC, for goodness sake, but drafted in a late round, ends up winning the starting nod, and then puts together a huge season. What did the draft do to you? What did it do for you? Were you upset that you didn't get drafted sooner? How did that whole process play out?
You know, really, as a player, you know, when it comes to the draft process, you know, there's a lot of things you can't control. You know, the only thing I could control was, you know, taking advantage of the opportunity I had to combine, you know, different all-star games, you know, pro day events and things like that. I just took advantage of those. So, you know, I wasn't really expecting to, you know, get drafted in the first, second, third round, to tell you the truth. So, you know, really, I tell people all the time, the day of the draft, on the third day, I went fishing. You know, I was just trying to, you know, just get my mind off of it a little bit. So, for the most part, you know, I was fortunate enough to get drafted by the Rams, and it's been a great opportunity. You know, Coach Fisher's a great coach. You know, he has a tremendous staff for us, and, you know, they've just been good to me. So, you know, along with the, you know, expectation from that standpoint, you know, I was just came in to try to do what I can, you know, to help this team, you know, be successful. You know, special teams, you know, offense, obviously, and just doing what I can to be on the field.
All right. Well, speaking of Coach Fisher, take a look here at what we got. What do you think is the more intimidating goatee? Is it that nice, tight trim that James Franklin has going on down there at Vandy with those shaded glasses? Or is it the furry, kind of older Jeff Fisher style go? Which one do you prefer?
you know, really, Coach Franklin, he's a little intimidating at first, you know, especially when he first got to Vandy. You know, he was always yelling, but, you know, obviously with me being an upperclassman or whatnot, you know, I kind of got, you know, a little more respect, you know, Coach Franklin from that sense or whatnot. And obviously I knew Jeff Fisher, you know, back when he was, you know, down the street, you know, with the Titans a little bit. So, but, you know, Coach Franklin, he's, you know, he's a great coach, man. Like, he's done a great job with that program down there in Nashville. A tremendous respect for him. You know, I keep in touch with him, you know, as much as I can, you know, just, you know, congratulating him on all the success that they're having. So, but, yeah, Coach Franklin definitely a little more intimidating from the sense that he's always yelling. But it's a good yell, though.
All right, last thing for you. Let's see. Frank Gore, Tampa held him to 86 yards. C.J. Spiller, 22. Mike Tolbert led the Panthers with 48. Give me a good game for Zach Stacy this week against that Tampa Bay Buccaneers front. What are we looking at?
You know, really, we haven't had a chance to watch film on or whatnot. But, you know, I don't try to keep up with stats like I mentioned earlier. You know, my main thing is just help this team be successful. You know, whether that's me running the football, pass protection, you know, coming out the backfield, being versatile, catching routes. So, you know, whatever the case may be. So, I'm pretty sure that, you know, they have a very good front seven in terms of, you know, trying to stop the run or whatnot. But, you know, it's all about execution, you know, week in and week out, regardless of who we're playing. So, you know, we go out and execute. You know, that's really, you know, our emphasis week in and week out, you know, being detailed, doing all the little things, fundamentals. You know, we take care of those things. We should be okay.
Well, a very astute down-the-middle answer, and that's what you get with that Ivy League of the SEC education there at Vanderbilt. Zach Stacy, a great year so far for the St. Louis Rams. Good luck the rest of the way, and we certainly appreciate you taking the time out.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
All right, coming up, Broncos and Seahawks sitting at the top of their respective conferences. Will they produce the best players in this year's NFL Playoff Challenge game? A few postseason fantasy sleepers coming up when NFL Fantasy Live continues. Well, fantasy football does not end with the regular season. You can visit NFL.com/playoff challenge to play for a chance to win a trip to Super Bowl 49. If you have not played before, all you do is set a roster of the players who will score the most points over the course of the postseason. And there are multipliers for each round. One of your players advances to the next round of the playoffs. If your players don't make it, no worries. You just fill their spot and the game continues. You can visit NFL.com/playoff challenge to get started. So, Rank, we're looking at the playoff standings as they sit today. Yep. Give us an idea of how you see the NFC playing out.
Yeah, what you want to do in this game is when you're trying to pick your players, you want to figure out who's going to go to the Super Bowl. You have your predictions of who do you like to go all the way, and then you pick players from that team. It seems very simple. And here we go. We start off San Francisco, Philadelphia. I have San Francisco winning that game. I think Philadelphia is a little bit exposed. Bears playing host to the Panthers. I would like the Bears to win that game at home. And so now you look. It's some interesting. This would be probably the game of the year,
certainly,
I would say.
Third time this season.
Third time's a charm. Guess what? I'm going to have San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, of course.
Okay. I've seen this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did we talk about this a little bit earlier? Someone didn't want to see a fantasy team for the third time?
You know what? I've seen the Carroll Harbaugh thing too many times in the college ranks, so I like that.
I like that matchup.
Ooh. So, you know, and here's the thing. If the Saints were going to go on the road, I don't think they beat Seattle, but if they're going to stay at home and play San Francisco, I think I go all the way. The New Orleans Saints.
There we go. Little Houdat.
My preseason pick to make the Super Bowl.
Oh, how convenient. How convenient.
Why would I change now?
You take that with a grain of salt, America. His Super Bowl pick before the season. Akbar, work us through the AFC here.
Well, look, in the wild card, you know, these Baltimore Ravens, you know, they showed last night that, you know, they've got some fight in them. But I have the Bengals winning this one. Then I come down here, the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, with Alex Smith and Andy Reid, they've done a good job. I've got them going to the divisional round. Now, this makes for a very good divisional matchup. The Bengals and the Patriots. This Bengals team, you can't overestimate, but I'm still going to take the Bengals. I've got the Patriots coming here, going now to the championship game, and then I'm never going to bet against Peyton Manning because Peyton Manning and this offense, they're clicking, getting ready to break all sorts of records here in the championship. So you know this makes for a very sexy championship matchup, Brady versus Manning.
Speak for yourself.
And guess what? This time, Manning takes it all the way to the Super Bowl.
Tim Tebow comes in?
No. Right. He's going to make it all the way to the Super Bowl. I've got the Denver Broncos.
Right. So that would be
in the Super Bowl.
That would be our Super Bowl.
Right there.
That's a good look.
Peyton Manning
take that Super
Bowl versus Drew Brees. Which of those two quarterbacks do you want, Akbar?
Well, I'm going to go with Peyton Manning. When you look at Peyton Manning, he's thrown for 47 touchdowns. He has been playing on fire, and I think he's going to continue that momentum with his guys. I mean, he's got his wide receivers. His running back has been playing on point. This is an offense set up for him to continue to make points and for you to win in this playoff challenge.
Now, the way this Super Bowl lines up, Adam, you don't really have a dominant running back. No Sean Moreno and Pierre Thomas. So what do you do there?
Yeah, I would go with Jamaal Charles because if you play him in that first week, in the second week when they have that matchup against the Denver Broncos, you would be getting double the points from Jamaal Charles. And I would imagine he's probably not going to put up 50 points against the Broncos, but it would be a fantastic matchup for him. He would be heavily used in the game plan against Denver. So you're getting double points there. I would go with Jamaal Charles. And then, you know what? Then I would put in No Sean Moreno after that. Ride him through the rest of the playoffs, and you'd be getting double points from No Sean when they get to the Super Bowl.
I know I'm just a suit, but I'm going to go ahead and take Marshawn Lynch and ride those Seattle Seahawks at home where they haven't lost in 2 years, Adam Rank. How about the wide receiver position?
Well, I'm going to go, again, back to the Denver Broncos, and I'm going to go this time with Eric Decker. We saw earlier in the year, we saw Decker get his love. Then we saw Welker get his love. Then we saw Demaryius Thomas get his love. Well, if you look in the last three games, it's been Eric Decker. He's got 5 touchdowns in the last 3 games. This seems more or less like his pace And I think that he's going to continue to advance those. And then all of a sudden, now he's moving through. You get double points, triple points with Eric Decker.
Now, regardless of who people like at the tight end position, or I should say in the NFC rank, it seems like there's a clear-cut selection at tight end.
You still go Jimmy Graham, especially if the Saints do lock up that number two seed. So every point that he gets in that second-round game would be worth double. And then, of course, if he's going to the Super Bowl, if you're getting quadruple points from Jimmy Graham in the Super Bowl, I would take that anytime.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. Well, finally, the defense, Akbar, our defensive specialist here on NFL Fantasy Live. Which defense are you going with?
Well, there's one guy I wish I would have played. Like, might probably played in the league a lot longer. Alden Smith. Alden Smith in the San Francisco 49ers defense. He's back. He had a couple of sacks. He's been doing really good. And so when you talk about this defense, they have the ability to create turnovers, have sacks. And so if they can do that and continue, even if they don't advance to the Super Bowl, I believe that they'll have enough points during their run where you can still be able to benefit for your team.
All right. Well, here we go. You get a look at it. It is our playoff challenge board, according to Akbar Bajabiamila and Adam Rank, Peyton Manning, Jamal Charles Lynch. You see the two Denver Bronco receivers, the tight end kicker of the Saints, and that 49ers defense. You can sign up at NFL.com/playoff challenge. And still to come, the final game of your fantasy season gets going on Sunday morning. Maybe you still have some questions before Week 16 kicks off. Yes, of course you do. Don't go away. We're back with our last-minute fantasy advice when NFL Fantasy Live returns. Only 3 weeks left to vote your favorite players to Hawaii for the 2014 Pro Bowl. With the new Unconference Pro Bowl format, you can select the best players regardless of conference. Then, Pro Football Hall of Famers and this year's Pro Bowl captains Jerry Rice and Deion Sanders will draft their teams. Vote now for the NFL's All-Stars at NFL.com/Pro Bowl Ballot. Welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live. The 2013 fantasy season is almost complete. That means it's time to hand out some hardware, guys. Yes, we do it every single year. You can check it out at NFL.com/fantasy awards all week long. You vote on our fantasy awards in categories like fantasy rookie, bust, overall player of the year, and then you'll check us out during week 17 as we unveil the winners. And here's a look at just a few of the nominees. You see the Comeback Fantasy Player of the Year. We'll award that on Monday, Rivers Moreno McCoy. Tuesday, we'll do the Fantasy... Oh, why so negative? The Fantasy Bust of the Year, Ray Rice, Trent Richardson.
And on your show, too. What am I going to tell you?
They're still the best
CJ
at
Spiller.
Something.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Trent, then on to Wednesday, when we'll get the Fantasy Rookie of the Year. That probably going to be the tightest category of them all. You see the Fantasy Sophomore of the Year there, Josh Gordon, Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson. And we'll cap it all off on Friday with your Fantasy Player of the Year, Breeze, Charles, and Manning. Again, you can vote now at NFL.com/fantasy awards. Congratulations. Yes?
Do I have to wear a tux the whole week then?
Yes. Okay. All week long, and I expect tails.
I don't want to see you in a tux.
I expect white tails, top hat, gloves, fabs. I expect you in like a nice peach with a ruffles combination.
Something like Dumb and Dumber.
There you go.
If you wear the light blue, I'll go in the orange.
Congratulations to everybody who made it to the championship game and celebrating your good fortune and good luck. We each decided to offer up some advice for how to handle the big stage. You've been there many a time, Fabs. What can you tell the kids?
Make sure you know what your tiebreaker is in the fantasy championship week. I'm in a league where my tiebreaker is the most bench points. So I drop players that I'm not going to use, and I pick up quarterbacks because quarterbacks are going to score the most points. Make sure you are aware of that tiebreaker because in the event that you do tie, you don't want to find out, wait a minute, tiebreaker is bench points, tiebreaker is best player on your bench, you need to know what it is.
All right. Savvy advice there. How about it, Akbar?
Well, for me, I say play the matchup. Suppose you're in a situation where, you know, a couple of weeks ago when we saw Reggie Bush at the last minute had to make a decision that he couldn't play. Now you sit there and you're faced with a decision. Who do I play? For example, let's take Chris Johnson going up against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And you're probably like, oh, well, he's just been so inconsistent. And this is the championship game. I don't want to lose it. He's going up against the Jacksonville Jaguars in two of the last three games. He's had 15 plus fantasy points. I say you stick with the matchup and don't overthink it.
All right. Well, I guess I'm sort of subscribing to that philosophy here. My issue is there's no guarantee with your studs. And this was something we brought up last year. Remember, it was the Marshawn Lynch versus the San Francisco 49ers defense. And I was going through it this week as Team America dominated me. I wasn't quite comfortable with Drew Brees going on the road to St. Louis against that great pass rush of the Rams. And certainly it played out that way. Now, look, Drew Brees still got you 20 points. But understand what he's facing this week. In this situation, you have Brees on the road where the Saints aren't nearly as good as they are at home, going against the number one defense in the league of the Carolina Panthers. If you have a legitimate option, don't freak out over benching Drew Brees, because the matchup presented is not that good of a matchup.
Kirk Cousins against the Cowboys in one of the worst defenses in the history of the NFL, yeah. Or Drew Brees?
As hard as it is, here's the only reason why I wouldn't do that, because weather comes into play. Because now you're talking about what could be a blizzard in Washington, and you may end up just running the heck out of the ball. That's the only reason why I wouldn't do that one. But you tell me Phillip Rivers in sunny San Diego against the Oakland Raiders, I would start him over Drew Brees.
I wish Phillip Rivers was available on that waiver wire.
Yeah, if he is.
If somebody dropped him, if somebody at the last minute.
Wouldn't that be convenient, Rank?
But that's the thing, is I agree with what both of you guys are saying, but I'm one of those guys who just plays their studs, and I just want you to say, stick to who you are. Don't overthink things. If you are one of the persons who just plays the matchups, or if you're somebody who just plays the studs, do that. Don't, just because it's championship week, decide to change it up. There's only one other person that I ever consult for fantasy advice. This isn't going to be a week that I'm walking around polling 900 different people. Just do what you always do, and hopefully it comes through, because I got Decker and Marino bad last week, but I hope they're going to come through. I'm not going to overthink it. I'm just going to go with my lineup.
Yeah, real easy to say there, Mr. I dropped Alex Smith and allowed a team to get into the championship game with you. Never forgive. You know, last year it was the Jets defense on a pickup. This year, it's
1 year money.
Yeah, one year.
One year.
Tomorrow, I'm not bitter. Our final edition of Stardom or Sit'em of 2013. How's that feel, Fabs? Getting that one off your plate. Make sure you set your lineup before seeing who the experts are nervous about in Week 16. Don't set your lineup, I should say. NFL Fantasy Live returns Wednesday at 5 Eastern on NFL Network.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota BZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.